Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now our text for this Sunday of the Holy Trinity is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 16th chapter. And we will read the first 16 verses of that chapter. We'll read from Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, where we read in the name of our Lord. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God and Father, who can imagine such a thing? The transcendent God joins us. Becomes us, lives amongst us, bears our sin, suffers our death, rises to glory, and then sends the Spirit to teach us and instruct us. No human being can plumb the depths of so great a love. Thank you, Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Traditionally on this day, in churches, you read this wonderful creed, which is called the Athanasian Creed, or Quinquib Vult in Latin. It's really, really long. And you come to this point of reading this thing, you know, and very often people read it, and then after they're stupefied by reading it, they understand very clearly that they don't really understand much of any of this stuff. And that's precisely kind of the point. I've heard all sorts of analogies throughout the years of people trying to describe the Trinity. And it's kind of interesting, but really kind of funny, because it just kind of shows that nobody knows what they're talking about. In the ancient church, they fought about it. You know, there was these big fights over the Trinity, which is very interesting, and they developed these creeds out of those, and they're wonderful creeds. But the problem is that you still come to this point. Well, how do you really give words to describe something that can't essentially be put into words? How do you really come to this point? And foundationally, the difficulty is that the scripture never says, well, here's the Trinity and this is how it works. It never makes a statement like that. And for that reason, you kind of have to ask, well, why do we try to do something that the scripture doesn't do? Why do we try to explain something that essentially the scripture tells us is beyond our ability to understand? And that's really the difficulty of the concept of Trinity. It's very hard for us because we don't know reality. Fundamentally, there's a disconnect for us. And I've tried to explain this before. If you read quantum physics, if you read on the understanding of the quantum universe, you understand that what we know as physical reality does not exist. At the subatomic level, there's so many things going on that we have no concept of. I've told you before that 90% of the universe, what we understand the universe, now people are personifying the universe like the universe is telling you stuff, and it's kind of cute, but man, is that dumb. The universe doesn't tell you anything. And really, when you get down to this point, you realize how inadequate our understanding of things really are. 90% of energy that we know to be energy is what's called dark. It's dark. The reason why we call it dark is because we don't understand it. We don't know anything about it. What we perceive of energy is about 10%. Matter is the same thing. About 90% of matter is dark. We don't know what it is. We don't even have any understanding of it at all. Only 10% of it do we actually know. Now, aren't we smart? We only know 10% of any of this stuff. But we extrapolate all the time to make all of these wonderful generalizations that we make, only to find out later it's okay to eat eggs. And you remember how that stuff works. You know, somebody comes along and all of a sudden something becomes really popular and somebody publishes it in a journal and all of a sudden everybody's, no eggs. Eggs are very healthy, you know, and they actually do wonderful things and they don't elevate your serum cholesterol because they don't affect the serum cholesterol. But people for years said because there's cholesterol in eggs, it's going to elevate your serum cholesterol, but it doesn't. That's how we are with the Trinity. You see, we don't honestly even know what we're talking about when it comes to the Trinity. We can't. Because we are not part of ultimate reality. We are not ultimate reality. What we exist in is a transient existence. And we're told that. The scripture tells us what exists here is transient. Is not going to exist forever. And as a matter of fact, St. Peter, and that's one of my favorite things, St. Peter says, the end of all of this is going to be a whoosh and a crackle in Greek, is what that says. If you take those words, they're like onomatopoeia in Greek. They just have this sound to them. And so what it says is, at the end, this is all going to end with whoosh and a crackle. And it's like, I tell you, it's like pouring milk on Rice Krispies. So you get snap, crackle, pop, boom, it's over. That's it. It isn't this weird thing that we've invented in our understanding of how we deal with God in reality. Everything will be gone. And St. Paul says this. It's like the blink of an eye. Jesus says his coming is going to be like lightning. Do you ever sit and try to figure out one, two? No, you do that with thunder, not lightning. Because lightning's like, zoop, it's over. You know, it just happens. That's it. The concept of the Trinity brings us to the point of understanding something that we can't understand. Dennis Zetting, he wrote this great book called A Quantum Case for God. And he makes some kind of weird generalizations in there that are not correct. But the one thing he does do is he uses this marvelous analogy. You realize you're a three-dimensional person. You're three-dimensional. Now, suppose you existed in a two-dimensional universe. If you had people that were only two-dimensional, in other words, they were flat. Suppose you showed up. Suppose you showed up in their hometown with your three-dimensionalness, and you come in with all your depth and all those sort of things like that. And there they are looking at you. What are they going to see? How are you going to appear to them? Flat. That's how you'll appear to them. Because they have no ability to have a sensation of that third dimension. They have no ability to appreciate the third dimension. Now, suppose you have an infinitely dimensional person. Suppose you have a person who exists beyond the concept of dimension, that you have a person who is infinite in every aspect of his existence. Now, how is he going to explain to you how he is if you're three-dimensional? How are you going to understand that? If he shows up, how are you going to see him? And how are you ever going to understand him? You can't. You can't. You never will. As a matter of fact, all you're going to do is create caricatures of that person. You're going to talk about what you think that that person is like. And this is where you come to the point of understanding that we don't really know how to define the Trinity. We don't really even know how to deal with it. But what we can do is understand the person who chose to reveal himself, the person who chose to make himself known, this God who is infinitely dimensional, this God who exists outside of the very confines of our universe, that as a matter of fact created the universe and everything that is in it, that this God, this being, is triune. He exists in three persons. And yet the three persons are of one. They are of one being. Now you realize we get buried in Aristotelianism. What happened is throughout the years, because of Aristotle, everything got defined essentially in the ancient church in Aristotelian metaphysics. So we came to understand these things of substance and all these nice little words that we throw around and all those sort of things. And Aristotle's wrong. Aristotle is wrong. I hate to tell you, he's wrong. Honest to goodness, he's wrong. Aristotle also thought that the sun and everything orbited around the earth. He's wrong. Aristotle is wrong. We have been so steeped in Aristotelian metaphysics that it's almost impossible for us to be liberated from them, to understand very clearly that actually our understanding of things is very, 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 very slight. And the generalizations of Aristotle and Neoplatonism and these sort of things in the realm of metaphysics have failed. Because ultimately, there can be no description of ultimate reality that a human being can compose. The only means of ultimate reality that can be known is what God chooses to make known. And that's why we have this. It's this, the Word of God, that directs our understanding of things in the world. It is not what human beings imagine or human beings think. The only way that we can know that God is triune is because God says that he exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the only way we can know. And actually, the only way that we can come to even grasp that is not by reason. It's by faith. We come to this point of understanding. He says that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why whenever we open our mouths to talk about the Trinity, we're all heretics, the whole lot of us. The ancient church would rise up and say, yep, you gotta go, you know, off into exile you go, because that's wrong. And you understand right away, we've gotten entirely off kilter. in relationship to understanding the person that we refer to as the triune God. God is only known as God reveals himself. And this is exactly what we see in John 16. That's why Jesus says this. He says, I want you to realize what's going to happen to you, because everybody's going to think you're nuts. He says, they're all going to think you're nuts. And he tells his disciples this. That's what's going to happen, he says, so that you're not offended. And that doesn't mean you're offended. You know, in this world, we're like, I'm offended by that. Okay, well, you know, crying out loud. When he talks about being offended, what this means in Greek is to cause somebody to stumble. It means to cause them to sin. He says, when he says this, he says, I spoke this to you so that you won't be caused to sin. And he says very clearly, he says, because they're going to put you out of the synagogues. He says, they're going to think you're nuts. He says, you're going to start talking about me and talking about these things, and people are going to accuse you of all sorts of awful things. And as a matter of fact, they're going to think that if they kill you, they're doing God a favor, that they're doing something for God. He says, and they're going to do these things to you because they have not known the Father nor me. And that's really the key to this whole thing. No human being, on the basis of human understanding, can know the Father. And no human being, on the basis of human understanding, can know Jesus Christ. This can only be revealed from God. It only comes to us by the Word and by the Holy Spirit. It can only be revealed from God. And if we insert our understanding into it, all we do is cloud it. We destroy it because we can't assimilate it. It isn't part of our reality. It can't fit it. So he says to his disciples, I want you to understand, this is what's going to happen to you. He says, people are going to hate you. He says, and they're going to want to kill you. He says, because they're going to figure that you've undone their religion. And that's precisely the point. He did undo their religion. That's exactly what he came to do. Because he finally came to show them what God was really like. And that's the hardest thing for human beings to understand. All you got to do is read the first 37 chapters of Job and be brave. But you read the 37 chapters of Job. And you understand you got these three wise people there. Then you get this other wiser guy that comes in. And you got Job, and all of them are meh, 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 meh for 37 chapters and going on and on about how God is. And God finally shows up in chapter 38 and he says, okay, knock that off. Enough of this. He says, who is this that's darkening counsel without knowledge? He says, now answer me some questions. He says, you remember when I made the sea and I said, you can go so far. He says, you remember when I did that? He says, because surely you were there. And Job says, I wasn't. You know, you get to the end and Job says, who is it that darkens counsel without knowledge? He says, that was me. And he says, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes because that was really dumb. And God finally says to Job, that's good. Now we're on the right wavelength. He says, I, Job, will be God, and you be Job, and everything will be fine. Jesus says very clearly, you could not know the Father nor me by nature. It's impossible. He says, and as a matter of fact, you are going to receive a great deal of resistance in the world, both religiously and non-religiously. And he says, and I want you to remember this, that I told you this. He says, I want you to remember that I told you this. Because I told you this while I was with you, so that you would know this and you would recognize this. He says, but now I'm going away. He says, and he says, none of you is trying to ask me where am I going, because I already told you where I'm going. I told you where I'm going. He says, you're sad about it. But I'm telling you, I need to go. I need to go for you. It's better for you that I go. Because if I don't go, then the Comforter won't come. But if I go, I'm going to send him. And that is the Holy Spirit. The only way to know God, the only way to understand him, is by God making himself known. God, by the Holy Spirit, must reveal himself to us. Now, what is amazing about this is that he does. He reveals himself to us. He makes himself known so that we can know him. He makes himself known. And he says, and when he's come, he's going to do these three things. He says, he's going to essentially, uses this word reprove, but actually it has more in this sense of being, of providing a reprimand. He's going to provide a reprimand. And he's going to reprimand the world about sin. And what he's referring to is unbelief. He says, because they don't believe in me. He says, I'm going to reprimand the world for not believing in me. He says, I'm also going to reprimand them about justice. He says, because they don't understand my justice. He says, because they don't realize it's me that justifies them. He says, what you need to understand is I make you righteous. I make you holy. I do this work. He says, my spirit is going to reprimand you because, as a matter of fact, when I leave, I'm going to send him so that you would understand it's me that justifies you. It's not according to your reason. It's not according to your understanding. It's not how you see me. It's I who justify you. I do it. And if I tell you I've justified you, then guess what? You're justified. If God says I justified you, then you're justified. Because you're justified, as the scripture says, by grace. God just justified you by grace through faith. Now you understand how unreasonable God is. He's just totally unreasonable. He does things that are not according to our reason. We sit and think, nah. Can't be that gracious. He can't, no, not that. I got to do something. I got to do something. There's got to be some reciprocity between me and God in order to make this thing work. And there isn't. Because there can't be. God freely justifies. And now you're starting to understand the Trinity. God condescends to us to show us the means of his justification, how he becomes us. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we would become the righteousness of God in him. You see, the essence of the Trinity comes down to this point of the realization of this encounter with God that takes place by the Holy Spirit. And he says, and also he's going to bring judgment. He says, but the judgment falls on the prince of this world. The judgment falls on the devil. He says, now I want you to understand that this is what's done. He says, now I'd like to tell all of this to you. He says, but as a matter of fact, you can't understand it. He says, you can't understand this until the spirit of truth, the spirit of reality, this Greek word, aletheia, it actually means more reality than truth. It means now something that is substantive, something that's real. It has this sense of being real. He says, when the spirit of reality comes, he's going to guide you into reality. You see, what we perceive as reality is not real. It isn't real. It's transient. It's gone that quick. The ultimate reality is in God. God is the ultimate reality. The triune God is the ultimate reality. He manifests himself in this way so that by faith we would understand the nearness of our God. We would realize the depth of his justification. We would know the power of his righteousness. And we would live in the power of the Holy Spirit to live a new life. But that new life, we can't see according to our sight. We can't perceive it according to the mind. That new life can only be perceived by faith, and it's known by a new reality that steps in and says, yes, your physical reality is going to be temporary, but your reality is forever. Like Jesus tells Martha, whoever believes in me will never die. Will never die. And this is exactly the point. When the Spirit comes, he's not going to speak of himself. He says, whatever he hears, he's going to speak. He's going to tell you. And he says, and he's going to show you the things that are to come. He'll glorify me, he says, because he's going to take what's mine, he says, which the Father has given to me and bestowed unto me, and he's going to show it to you. He says, he's going to make it yours as well. He says, and all things that the Father has are mine. He says, because the Father and I are one. He says, everything he has is mine. And that's why I said he's going to take what's mine. He's going to show it to you. He says, a little while you won't see me. He says, you're not going to have physical sensation of me. He says, I'm not going to be available to you in sight. Again, a little while, he says, and you will see me because I go to the Father. And that's the sense of the Trinity. The Spirit of God shows us Jesus the Christ in the fullness of everything that is of the Father. And when the Son goes to the Son sends the Holy Spirit to come to us, to bring us into a transcendent reality, a reality that transcends our reality, a place where we are seated together with him, as Ephesians says, in the heavenlies, Ephesians 2:6. We are seated together with him in the heavenlies. You see, you're never going to understand the Trinity according to Aristotle, because you can't understand the Trinity in that way. What a joke. You can sit there and read Athanasian Creed till you're blue in the face, and all you're going to get done is saying, why are we saying this thing over and over again for 3 pages? The only thing that testifies to the living God is that this living God comes near to you, comes to you. He justifies you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit receives you into himself. And he tells you very clearly, whatever I have, I want to show to you, I show it to you, so that you would know me, you would know me, and you would find your way home, and you would believe in me, and you would trust in me. You would find your life in me, that you would know your reality, because your reality is that you are my child, you are my offspring, you are holy in my sight, you are without spot or wrinkle, you are blameless, you are pure, you have been justified. You are freely given new life. And I'm drawing you to me. And that's what he says. I'm drawing you to me. Don't try to understand me. You're not going to understand me. I'm way more than 3 dimensions. I hate to tell you, I'm every dimension you can think of and beyond that. I'm anything and everything that's beyond anything you can possibly imagine. I'm all of that. But I love you. I chose to save you. You mean the world to me. You mean the price of my Son. You mean the shedding of his blood. You mean his life to me. You mean the fullness of everything to me. And I give you that fullness because I am your God. I am your Father. I am your Lord. I am your Savior. My Son gave his life for yours. My Son raised you to newness of life. And my Spirit, my breath, inhabits yours. My Spirit lives in you so that you have life. Don't try to explain me. He says, don't try to explain me. You can't explain me. Just listen to what I say to you. And that's the hardest things for us as human beings. Just listen to what he says. Just listen to what he says. You read through the scripture sometime, and I do this, you know, I tell you this all the time. Read through the openings of the epistles from St. Paul and see what he says about those people. He calls them the saints of God. He calls them holy. He calls them these wonderful beings. He says all these things. You don't have to read too far in Corinthians where they are acting anything but. You know, you don't have to go too far, but he says very clearly, that's who you are. That's who you are. The hardest thing for us as human beings is to come to this place that we are sinners saved by grace. It's the hardest thing that we have. We have to come to this point of realizing we're sinners saved by grace. The mercy of God, the triune God, is for us. His life is for us. What he does is for us. He chose to do this for us. He sent his son to suffer and die for us. He came to wash our feet in order to show us this is what he was like. And he told us very clearly, he says, I want you to realize I am your Lord and Savior. You're right about that. But I washed your feet and I gave that to you as an example that you should do it to one another. Because what I want you to realize is that's how God is in the world. That's the Holy Trinity. The Trinity comes to serve and to save. It comes to deliver from sin, death, and the devil. It comes to give us life, eternal. And it gives it to us in fullness. He pours it out upon us so that we would understand. And we need to understand. You see, because when we talk about the problems of this world, when we talk about what's going on with the Supreme Court justices, when we talk about the violence in this world, we talk about all these sorts of things. The only remedy to this is that triune God. He's the only remedy. It ain't going to be politics, I hate to tell you. It's the triune God. It is God. And we need to implore him. We need to ask him. We need to take him very seriously and understand his fullness. And we need to bring this fullness to the world because the world needs to hear it. The world needs to know of the triune God. The world needs to know of his salvation. The world needs to know hope, because the reason why so many of these acts are being perpetrated is because people are hopeless. They are hopeless. They think their lives are nothing. They don't realize that Jesus died for them. The Lord of the universe suffered for you, died for you. That you would know him. And you know as well as I do, when that gets hold of your heart, man, that changes everything. You understand right away everything. Everything is different. When you have overcome death through life, everything is different. And that's the Trinity. That's what he came to show us. He came to show us the depth of his love and his grace. And one day, we're going to close our eyes here. We're going to open them up over there. And nobody's going to have to say, explain the Trinity. Going to be like, nothing to that. It's just easy. What's going to be amazing is that in Jesus Christ, you're going to open your eyes there. And they will never close in death. You will be forever. Holy Trinity Sunday. Is he ever cool? He is beautiful. He is astoundingly wonderful. And he is incredibly in love with us. Incredibly. And by the Spirit, we are incredibly in love with him. Because he is our Lord. And he is our Savior. And he is our Father. And all of it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, how truly awesome you are. And Father, how gracious you are. We couldn't even hope to understand you. But even when we couldn't understand, you came to us. And you freely revealed yourself. You touched us. You healed us. You suffered for us. You died for us. You rose for us. And you took us home in Jesus the Christ, that we would know you and abide with you forever. We pray, Father, that by your Holy Spirit you would quicken your word unto us this day and enable us to see what we can't see by faith. Let us grasp by faith what we can't see. And direct our joy, Father, to you, that our hearts may rejoice in the finished work of your Son. And by your Holy Spirit, that we would live in full assurance of that salvation. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.